Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Jason. Great to meet you today. Happy Father's Day. One more time. Why not? It's not every day, right? So, good to be here, back with you again. I was telling Kelly earlier and also my wife earlier, but hey, feels like home when we come to this church. I do think this is probably the church that most preached in the district, maybe. Never counted it, but thanks for keep inviting me. Maybe a good sign, huh? We'll see. Could be the last time I'm preaching here. Who knows? I don't know. Hey, good to be here today with you guys, and thank you for having us again. I would love to say thank you for your continued support and prayer to what God is doing in the city of Boston among college students. And congratulations to the folks who decided to be baptized today and proclaim your faith in front of your community. And this is the beginning of a great walk that gets you walk for the next several decades. And I pray that you will stay close to Jesus and you will continue to walk. It kind of took me back to I was baptized when I was 13 years old. I kind of was sitting there and thinking, wow. Man, I am halfway through the life, and wow, it's still more to go. But praise the Lord, God helps you to walk with Him. We cannot do this by our own strength, but He helps us to walk with Him. Isn't that crazy? He helps us to walk with Him. That's pretty cool. And also for the graduates, too, we will not be here next Sunday. So if you are a high school graduate, anywhere in the Boston area, as a college student, we love to get in touch with you, primarily because your church supports us to minister to the city, and we want to make sure that you are somehow get connected to the people of God, or maybe we can get started something where you go to school at. So we'd love to get connected. And today, my job is to preach to you about what is a disciple, and I would love to get that started. Before that, I would like to pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, the good master you are. Thank you, Lord, for the good father you are. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good and loving king. So we come to you today to learn from you. Speak to us and teach us. Open our hearts and minds that we will be learners. And we will have the courage to practice what we hear from the pulpit today. We need you. Glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are starting a sermon series, I think, for this Sunday and maybe next Sunday. The Way of Jesus. And we are going to look today into making disciples is the way of Jesus to get men and women ready for eternity. How many of you have wished if Jesus was here today preaching at Boston Common and that we all just gave our life to Jesus and then Jesus turned around and told you, now see us, you go make disciples. That is my plan to change the world. And that is one of the ways of Jesus to reach the world. So if you're sitting here today, and when you get out of this church to the streets of Malden, I want you to think that God called you and gave you the greatest job in the world, that is to go and make disciples. And you are like, yes, you talk about this all the time when you come here, making disciples. Hey, let's do that. So where do we start? What is a disciple of Jesus? Who is this disciple of Jesus? Let's turn to Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 17. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And today's teaching has three parts. Essentially, we are going to look into scriptures for answers for a few questions. The first question that we're going to deal with is a definition of a disciple. What is a disciple? And second, we will learn from Scripture who cannot be a disciple of Jesus. And then thirdly, we will deal with what can I do to be a disciple of Jesus throughout my life. Disciple is a term consistently used in the four Gospels to mark the relationship existing between Christ and his followers. However, it is somewhat remarkable that the word is not to be found in epistles. Only in the Gospels we see the term disciples. The followers of Christ embraced the designation Christian because it openly and unashamedly identified them with Christ, and that is why we don't see that in epistles. But before the title of Christian was widely accepted, what were the early followers of Christ called? They were simply called disciples. Disciples were the preferred reference for believers. But what is a disciple? It was a term that was called initially. Then in the epistles we see they were called as Christians. But until then, they were called a disciple. So what is a disciple? A disciple is a student. A disciple is one who disciplines himself in the teachings and practices of another. The word disciple, like discipline, comes from the Latin word discipulus, meaning pupil or a learner. Consequently, to learn is to discipline oneself. For example, if one is to advance in the arts of the sciences or athletics, one has to discipline himself or herself and to learn and follow the principles and fundamentals of the best teachers in the area of the study. So if you really want to be a great musician, that you want to be looking for who is the greatest musician out there, you want to go study under that person. So to be a follower of Jesus or to be a disciple of Jesus, you need to go and study under Jesus. When Jesus called his first disciples, he spoke the simple words. What did he ask of them to do? He was not telling them, come and be my disciple. He tells them what? Follow me. A disciple is a follower who trusts and believes in a teacher and follows the teacher's words and example. A disciple of Jesus, a disciple is a follower, one who trusts, believes, learns, obeys in a teacher, and follows the teacher's words and example. So therefore, to be a disciple is to be in a relationship. It is having an intimate, instructive, and intimate relationship with the teacher. So being a disciple of Jesus Christ is being in a relationship with Jesus. It is seeking to be like Jesus. In other words, we follow Christ to be like Christ, because as his disciples, if we belong to him. The term disciple marks an individual relationship, and though it has largely fallen out of use, it is of the utmost value still in marking that relationship existing between Christ and each single soul, suggesting our consequent position in all the varied circumstances of everyday living. For those who got baptized today, your day has begun. Today is the first day of being a disciple of Jesus. You made the commitment to be under him. He's going to teach you. And you have decided to be in a great relationship with him, intimate, instructive relationship with him. So what is a disciple of Jesus? A disciple of Jesus, this is our definition, okay? This is the definition that we're coming up with. A disciple of Jesus is a follower of Jesus who learns, trusts, and obeys his words and example. Simple as that, right? A disciple of Jesus is a follower of Jesus who learns, trusts, and obeys his words and example. Now, let's go back to Mark 1:17, when Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. See, there are two things involved in that particular invitation. The first one is follow me. And the second thing is God making us becoming fishers of men. God's idea is to make us becoming fishers of men, but to grow into that mature responsibility, the first step is to follow him. Sometimes people say, you know, our job is to just follow him. Of course, that is our job is to follow him, but his goal is not that we just follow him. He is making us becoming fishers of men. We have to always keep that in our mind. Of course, my job is to follow him, but that is not what God sees. When God sees me, he's not simply saying, okay, see, yes, come follow me, be my disciple. But then he also says, no, my job is to make you become fishers of men. He is making me a teacher to a certain degree. Does that make sense here? Today we look into what does this following of Jesus or being a disciple of Jesus looks like on a daily basis. I think Andrew, my friend, will cover the second question next week. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? But before that, let me ask you this question. Have you ever wondered, why is it that you are not being able to follow Jesus closely and obey him like the way you want to? Right? There are things that, hey, Jesus, I want to follow you, I want to obey you. But then we take time to reflect our own lives. We found ourselves places where we are lacking. Why is that happening, right? Or what are some of the things that's keeping us from becoming a true disciple of Jesus? And that need to be searched and found so that we can move forward becoming a disciple of Jesus in its all sincerity. So let's go to the Gospel of Luke. You have heard this portion before, so listen. Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 26, 27, and 33. Verse 26, 27, and 33. Verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That is the first thing that we're going to talk about. What is that causing us not to be a disciple? Jesus looks at the disciples and tells them, hey, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. How do you respond to that, right? You think about Jesus is preaching from here. He's saying that from here. What would be your response? Especially when your parents are sitting next to you. Wow, okay, Mom, did you hear that? Well, you want to respond to this, right? It does sound a little rude, doesn't it? I do need to hate all my relationships to be a disciple of Jesus. Yes, the standards of Jesus, for me to be his disciple is really high. Now, here it does seem a little contradicting when all of Jesus' teaching in all the Gospels talk about loving everyone, including our enemies. On one side, Jesus talks about love everybody, including your enemy. And then he talks about what? Hate your parents and sisters and wife and life. You cannot be my disciple. Yes, in order to be a disciple of Jesus, our highest affections must be toward him. See, this is the thing. I grew up in a culture that is close to this culture. What I meant is that when my dad says something, if I disagree with that, and if I voice my disagreement, he would interpret it as not an opinion or a suggestion or my thought. He interpreted as he hates me. So there is only one way, right? When my dad says something, either I'm with him or I'm against him. If I say, yes, daddy, then I'm with him. And if I'm saying, no, dad, then that simply means that I'm against him. That is a culture. So what it simply means is that when you put your affections primarily to Jesus, what it will look like is you hate everyone else. And sometimes when you love Jesus with all your mind and strength, it could look like you hate everyone else. But that's okay. But you don't, because it's the same Jesus who teaches us to what? To love everyone, even love our enemies. That's not God's intention to hate people. Of course, that's not the intention, but sometimes it could look like, hey, when you love Jesus, when you obey him, against all the other ideas that is floating around, when you follow Jesus, against all the cultural conundrums that's happening, what does it look like? It does look like you hate everyone else who follows that. But that's okay. Verse 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. How about that? Whoever does not bear his or her cross, come after me, cannot be my disciple. Here Jesus talks about a readiness to suffer and even face death as one of the requirements to be his disciple. Can you think of that? If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you should be ready to die for him. Face trials and face persecution. This is the calling to be a disciple of Jesus. Are you serious? You know, you hear this stuff and you wonder, are you serious? Things, we are Americans, right? We have an American mind. I mean, are we ready to face trials because of your commitment to Jesus? Ready to suffer? No way. The rules, the norms, the rights, and the privileges of American promise an average, comfortable life. If I work diligently, I can get all I want. See, sometimes, even though we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our priorities might have shifted much. Our way of thinking might not have changed a bit. Now, I know this preaching is pointed toward the deepest places of our heart, but we have an idea what our heart desires. If we're still seeking comfort and totally want to face the consequence of walking with Jesus, we need to be ready to face trial. Carrying your cross and going after Jesus means carrying your cross and walking to where crucifixion, says Dick Brogdon. What does it mean to carry your cross? Carry your cross means carrying your cross means going to crucifixion. Our American mind is hard to comprehend that, because I can have Jesus and also I can have all the things the world promises. We are not, as Americans, we are not the people going to get rid of our comfort. We do need that. But to be a disciple of Jesus, it's not easy. A readiness to suffer. A readiness to take pain. A readiness to be persecuted for his name's sake. That is what comes with to be his disciple. Verse 33. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. That is probably the hardest for us Americans, right? A call to forsake for all that we have. Matthew Henry says, though the disciples of Christ are all not crucified, yet they all bear their cross and must bear in a way of duty. Jesus bids them count upon it and the consider of it. Our Savior explains this by two similitudes, the former showing that we must consider the expanses of a religion, the latter that we must consider the perils of it. Sit down and count the cost, consider it will cost the mortifying of sin. even the most beloved lust. The following of Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, the calling is to deny everything in life. Right? We all like and want to be a disciple of Jesus, but the demands that Jesus puts forward to be his disciple, it is almost unbearable. It's so hard. First, he talks about, I need to be your supreme relationship. No father, no mother, no sister. Everyone, I need to be your supreme relationship. Then he talks about, be ready to suffer for my behalf. People are going to persecute you. They're going to do everything. Have the readiness to suffer. And third, he tells you this, hey, you need to not love your stuff. You need to forsake them all. Forsake everything. I must be nuts to preach this in America here in church today. In Boston, right? You think about Boston City, it is filled with the people of what? Right? Godly people putting their trust in things other than Jesus and pursuing that, right? But we as Christians, disciples of Jesus, have a different purpose in life. So verse 26, other relationships over Jesus. Verse 33 talks about materialism and lust. We cannot have that. Deny all of it. And then there's a calling to suffer. So now, as you can see, all these things are age-old temptations to be considered and dealt with thoroughly to be a disciple of Jesus. So these are things that as I speak, I know what is in my heart, right? Then Jesus also knows what's in my heart. These are the only people who actually know what's in your heart. I'm aware of it, and God knows it. There were the temptations of thousands of years ago, and these generally are the temptations of today, of course, in different forms and flavors. The relationships, possessions, and fear of suffering. And these are the reasons why we seemingly not being able to be a disciple of Jesus. These are three things. I want my family. I want my parents. I want my mother. I want my sibling. I want all that. But Jesus is asking me to do with Jesus or family. Jesus or family. But think about this. I want my car, my mansion. I want all this money, and I have no time to think about Jesus. I have no time for Jesus. But Jesus or all this. Oh. But then I'm going to walk with Jesus, but there's suffering, and people are going to look at me and think I don't know what I'm doing. People think I'm not up to the style. It's costly to be a disciple of Jesus. But how do we do that? I do think we can do this, right? How do I follow Jesus today? Or what can I do to be a disciple? In the midst of all this, calling is still to be a disciple. So where do we start? Number one, making Jesus your primary affection. What does that mean? Psalm 27, verse 4, we read this. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Making Jesus our primary affection means having intentional time spent with Jesus. If I can spend my time with Jesus, that is where I am making him my primary affection. Reading scripture, singing praises to him in private, listening to him talking to us, praying, just extravagant time with Jesus. It is time for us to start building this kind of affection toward Jesus. It is in this practice of real extravagant time with Jesus that our hearts learn to know him personally, to listen to his voice and trust him. See, our problem is that we know the capacity of Jesus, but we don't have the real understanding of his character. It is important for us to spend time with God because it determines the decisions that we make in life. So we need to spend time with God. That is the only way we can make him the primary affection of our life. We've got to spend time with Jesus. There's no other way. We've got to walk with him, spend time with him. That's the only way we can do it. When Jesus becomes our primary affection, in a real sense, all our relationship becomes orderly according to Jesus. When Jesus, hey, this is true, when Jesus becomes the primary affection, all the affections will fall in the right places. Making Jesus our primary affection through intentional time spent with Jesus is the first step toward becoming a disciple. So if you want to be a disciple, how do you be a disciple? Spend time with Jesus at the beginning. Second point, I am sprinting now. I just looked at 11:58 a.m. Caring for what Jesus cares and taking responsibility for what matters to him is what helps us to become a disciple. The Declaration of Independence starts this way. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Individual liberty and pursuit of happiness has become the central ideal of American social life. All American glories seem to rest upon these two ideals. Are not we all busy building this ideal American happy life? But Jesus says, whoever of you does not forsake all that, he has cannot be my disciple. It doesn't match, does it? It's painful. Forsake all that I have. All that I have, I built. Is it even possible? In order to be a disciple of Jesus, I should reject the glory my world believes in and offers to me. Now, that is not easy. Right? The rest of the world, the rest of the people are actually after this glory and they seem to be receiving it, but to be a disciple of Jesus, I need to reject this. So how do we do this? Forsaking of all the pleasures and glory that is so achievable and rewarding, but to be a disciple of Jesus. C.S. Lewis talks about this. He talks about God's perspective on our so-called glorious life. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in his slum because he cannot imagine what is meant to be the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. All the glories that we think the America can offer you is nothing. You know why? Because we don't even know what a real glory actually looks like. Worship team can come forward. Or in other words, the American pursuit of happiness is not the right glory that we should be after. The American glory that comes with more should be replaced with the right weight of glory that comes from Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus is to care for what Jesus cares. What does the heart of Jesus cares the most? His heart cares the most for people. Everyone. And C.S. Lewis goes on to say this, it may be possible for each to think too much for our own potential glory hereafter. It's hardly possible for us to think too often or too deeply about that of our neighbor. The load or weight or burden of my neighbor's glory should be laid daily on my back. A load so heavy that only humility can carry it, and the backs of the proud will be broken. It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship, or else a horror and a corruption such as you meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long, we are in some degree helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with awe and circumspection proper to them, that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is ours as the life of a knot. But it is immortals whom we joke with. work with, marry, snub, and exploit immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. I said that to say that it is not easy for us to forsake all our stuff that rewards us with the glory in the fallen world. You think about it, don't you want to have your glory while you're alive in this world? We do. That is the work that we do sometimes. But Jesus is concerned about the future glory of my neighbor. And he put that on my back. Only people of God can carry that. You look somebody else, you look at your neighbor who doesn't walk with God. He put the glory of that person on your back. It takes humility to carry that. But we are on this side of the world trying to have all the glory, to make all the things that we can. We cannot be a disciple. That's what Jesus said. You cannot be a disciple unless you're ready to forsake everything for the glory. Taking responsibility for what concerns Jesus' heart is central to becoming a disciple of Jesus. It is central to becoming part of Jesus. Would you please stand with me? And the third is this. If you want to be a disciple, we ought to be a people focused on eternity. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, we read this. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Hey, what enables us to suffer? This is what causes us to suffer. We don't care about the suffering of the world. Jesus said, hey, carry your cross and be ready to suffer. Well, how is it possible? It is only possible if we can think of a glory, the future glory that we get to have. We need to be people who focus on that. And that is what it is going to make us a disciple of Jesus. When Jesus says that, so let's commit to making Jesus our primary affection through intentional time spent with Jesus. That's how we become a disciple, spending a lot of time with him, making him the center of affection. Second is taking responsibility for what concerns Jesus' heart is central to becoming a disciple of Jesus. The glory of your neighbor, the eternal glory of your neighbor, considering that, concerns of that, that is what is going to cause us to be a disciple of Jesus. And third, when life hits you hard, when trial comes, when persecution comes, the invitation is to what? Walk, carry your cross and walk. And how is it possible? It's only possible when we know I get to be with Jesus. There is a life after this. There is something called the future glory. Hey, the altars are open. Please find a place to make a commitment to Jesus. You want to be a disciple of Jesus, and Jesus wants you to be a disciple of him, but it comes with such cost. Even while Jesus was in this earth, and a lot of people left him. You know why? Because his teachings were hard. It was hard to follow him, so people left. But look at us in 2023, God given us the chance to follow him, and he was a disciple. I pray that you would make the commitment to make him the center of your affection. Let me pray. Father, we thank you. That you are a good teacher and you asked us to follow you so that you can make us become fishers of men. But Lord, we confess that at times following you and be a disciple of you, it's not easy, it's hard. And just like you said, cannot be a disciple if you cannot do certain things. But Lord, we want to do them, but also we know that you're going to help us to do those things. I pray that you will give courage to my friends here, to me, that we will make you the center of our affection. And we will focus on eternity. And we will consider what is close to your heart, God. And help us to do that. I pray that you would give courage to my friends today to make the commitment and follow through. Because you want us to be your disciple. Help us, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.